day is found in 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Last week we left off speaking to you how Samuel went down to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king over Israel, and how that Jesse let seven of his sons pass by before Samuel, and the Lord did not speak unto Samuel and say that any one of them was that son that he had chosen to be king over his people. Therefore Samuel questioned him and said, "Are these all your sons?" "No," he says, "we have yet the youngest. He is in the field taking care of the sheep. Send for him," he says, "for he it is." And we find that Jesse sent for his son David, who was taking care of the sheep. And David came forward, and he was a young man of a ruddy countenance, and beautiful and goodly to look at. And as he came, the Lord spake in the heart of Samuel and said, "This is he, anoint him." And Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And when he done this, the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. We have here then a description of David. He was good looking, of a beautiful countenance, and he was ruddy. This young man had been separated by God from all eternity to be king over his chosen people, the Israelites. It was not because he was good looking and that he was prudent and goodly, but it was God's love from all eternity that separated this young man. He had grace in his soul, even when he took care of his father's sheep. The Lord had planted his fear in his heart. And now God, unknown to David, had chosen him to be the king over his people. He had been a shepherd. He knew how to take care of sheep. Now God was going to use him to be the shepherd over his people, the Israelites. And therefore, Samuel anointed him. Anointings were quite frequent in the Old Testament times. These kings and priests and prophets, they were continually being anointed because they were dying and new ones came into their place. This pointed to the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he was anointed with the Spirit above measure. He is called the Messiah, the Anointed One. And all these anointings pointed to the offices that Christ would execute in his church here below. For he is prophet, priest, and king over his church. And now this Spirit that came down upon David, we can find it so manifested in the precious word of God. We find in the Psalms especially how this Spirit led David. Oh, how often God's dear children, when they study the Psalms, they, if they have that same Spirit, find the prayers of David so united in their own hearts with what he had spoken out thousands of years ago. The prayers of David, they have an echo in their souls, and they can join with him so many times. He was anointed above measure with this blessed Spirit. And if you have any of this Spirit in you, my hearers, then you will have the same desires, the same longings, the same breathings that you find in the Psalms, you will find in your soul, for that same Spirit indites them there. What a blessing if you have this Spirit, my hearers. If you have not this Spirit, how sad is your case? How sad is your condition? Oh, I feel so sorry for you if you have not this Spirit. Then you know nothing of the sweets of God's dear and precious word. How wonderful it is when we can unite with many of the saints of old whose spirit was the Spirit of Christ speaking in his precious word. And now we find that after this, Samuel returned back to his home to Ramah. And then we read so distinctly and clearly that the Spirit of God departed from Saul from that day forward. This Spirit that had been in Saul, which had given him the ability to be king and to rule and to guide the people of Israel, this Spirit in its common operations had departed now from him. And when this spirit departed from Saul, he became melancholy. He became subject to fits of passion and of rage. He was left by God into the hands of an evil spirit. The spirit of the devil came upon Saul and used Saul in this way. And now this man, Saul, he was no fit person even to live with. Even the servants began to complain and say to him, "Nobody can stay with you. Something should be done for you." And now these servants, they prescribed that he should get somebody that could play the harp. And probably when this person played the harp, why, the music would be soothing to his nerves, would quiet him, and then it probably would make him well again. Now this King Saul, he had ears for this. And he said, "Provide me a man that can play skillfully." And we read of a servant being in the court of Saul, speaking up and saying, "I know a young man," he says, "a cunning player of the harp, and he's prudent, and he's a valiant man, he's a man of war, and the Lord is with him. He's a son of Jesse." What this servant speak about David in the court of Saul, how wonderful. How come that this servant knew this? Where did he get this information? David knew nothing about what this servant was speaking about. David knew nothing about what was going on in the court of Saul. But here already God was providing in his providence that this young man David would be brought into the court, brought before the king. You see in this, my hearers, that if God has designated you for a certain position in his church or in his kingdom, that he makes providence to work in every way so that you will be what he wants you to be. No question about it. Nothing can oppose God in his ways. If God has designated some of you young men to be a minister, which I hope and which I pray for, then I am so sure that the works of providence will coincide with God and that you will become what he wants you to be. We see this in David. We see this man speaking up. How wonderful did he speak about David, that he was a cunning player of the harp, and that he likewise was a valiant man, a man of war, and that he was prudent. You see, the spirit that David had in his heart revealed itself in his life, in his conversation. My hearers, if God gives you his good spirit, it will be seen in your life. It will be seen in your conversation. It will be noticeable to all around you. You cannot live as the world lives. They will take particular notice of your actions and of what you do. And they will say, "He is such a strange creature." But they will also see something that they will admire in you. And what is that? That is the grace of God. God shines forth in his glory in the souls of his dear children and also in their lives. They are here below to glorify him, and that David did already as a youth. We find this servant speaking up for him in this court. And the most important thing that he said about this young man was, "And the Lord is with him." It wasn't because he was a cunning player of the harp. It wasn't because he was prudent and he was a valiant. Wanted somebody to play a harp for him. What do you think about this? I know there are some amongst me that like music. I do myself. But you know, music is a wonderful thing. Music is being used today disgracefully, not to the honor of God, and not for the minds and the tempers of people, but it's used for luxury. It's used so that the devil will have so many subjects to follow it. And now these men, they prescribed music for Saul. And they thought they would make him merry. They thought they would make him glad. That would change his countenance, that would change his life, and that would make him an altogether different spirit. Oh, my hearers, how often the devil uses these kind of means to bring people away from the care of their immortal souls. Our music has a tendency to leave us away from God, especially word music, the kind that we hear on the radio, on the television. The things that you hear over them things, my hearers, very seldom do they lead you to God. They lead you away from him. They lead you to glory in what you hear. They lead you to glory in the person that conducted or composed the piece that's being played. Oh, how seldom, my hearers, does the Spirit of God, even in our days, he used music to bring his people to himself. Oh, it's a blessing if we come up to the house of God and we hear the organ playing, there's nobody singing. I've had it so often already, coming to the house of God before the service, the organ is playing, and somebody's playing a Psalter or a Holland psalm. And immediately the words start to come up into your soul. Immediately they become a breath of prayer before God. That's a blessed way when the music has that effect upon you. But these people, they wanted music to have a different effect upon Saul. They wanted to make him merry, to make him joyful, and forget his troubles, forget his cares and his anxieties. He knew that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And now they chose this young man, David, a skillful player on the harp. And he was brought in to Saul. And he appeared before Saul. And Saul looked upon him, and he was a ruddy young man of a beautiful countenance, a good-looking young man. And you know, the eye always wants something. I don't care who you are. We all have eyes, and we like to see something that looks good. And so Saul, when he seen this young man, why, he loved him greatly, it says. And he chose him to be his armor bearer. And now he sent word back to Jesse, his father, and asked him if he couldn't keep David in his court because he had found favor in his eyes. And Jesse, David's father, he, I believe, saw the providence of God in this, for he had known that his son had been anointed to be king, and now his son had been taken to the court already. He was in the king's palace already. Here he would learn to know something of the business and the duties of a king, and therefore he consented most readily that his son would stay with Saul and play for him. And now this evil spirit came upon Saul. And as the evil spirit came upon Saul, and we find David playing on the harp. And as he played on the harp, Josephus says, he not only played, but he sang divine psalms. And as he sang and played on the harp, the evil spirit departed from Saul. It had such a wonderful effect upon this man, Saul. You know, no matter who had played for Saul, it never would have had that effect upon him. David had a play. God blessed the playing of David so that it had that effect upon Saul. And he was quieted, and he was made well again. It appeared that this evil spirit departed from him. He regained his senses again, and he was able again to conduct his kingly duties. And now we find in the next chapter that the Philistines have gathered themselves to battle, and they invaded the land of Israel. They came into the certain territory of Judah. And we find the Israelites going out to meet them. The Philistines are there on the top of one mountain, and the Israelites are on the top of another mountain. There's a valley in between them. And now the Philistines, they send out a giant, a man by the name of Goliath. Now this man, according to the commentary, he was pretty near 12 foot high. Such an enormous man. You know, when the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, then they met men that were giants, Anakims. And it appears that from this tribe of Anakims, giants had been spared by God, and they were even living in the time of David. And we find that this man, Goliath of Gath, he was one of these giants. He was an enormous man. And he came out into the valley, and he was clothed with a coat of mail. He had a coat of mail which weighed 500 shekels of brass, according to the commentary, weighed about 170 pounds. And he had a helmet of brass on his head, and he had a shield that had brass on it between his shoulders and the back, and he also had boots of brass on. Here was a monstrous man in brass and in iron, and he came into this valley, and he began to speak. And he spake unto the Israelites and said, why have ye come out to put your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? Choose me a man to fight with, and if this man prevail over me, we will be thy servants. But if I prevail over him, then ye shall be our servants. And now when the Israelites heard this and saw, they were greatly afraid. Why were they afraid? They had heard before that Nahash, the Ammonite, he had gathered his army together and he was going to fight. He started fighting with the Gibeonites. And Saul, when he heard that, the Spirit of God came upon him. And he sent throughout all Israel for men to come up to fight against them. And everyone responded. And Saul likewise, he went forth and he won a glorious victory. Why didn't Saul go up and fight with this man now? Here was one man coming out, a giant, and he's afraid. And all the Israelites are afraid with him. The way the king was, it's the way the people were. Where was Jonathan, the son of Saul? Another valiant young man. A man that had went forward with his armor bearer and had slew I don't know how many Philistines in the field. Why didn't he come forward to engage with this Philistine? You don't read of him. The providence of God, working in conjunction with David. David had to come forward here. David had to be honored. David had to become famous in the sight of all the Israelites. And now this Goliath, he defied the armies of Israel to give him a man to fight with. Now you know no nation is so foolish as to send just one man to battle and depend upon that man to win or lose. That would be foolish of any country to do. And therefore we all have armies that go out to fight against the imposing enemies. And so likewise here, we do not find Israel sending anybody to fight against this giant. But they're all afraid. And now this giant, he came out every day. For 40 days he presented himself in the same manner and said the same thing. And there wasn't a person on the side of the Israelites that would go forward to encounter and fight with him. And now David, he had went back from the court of Saul and went back to tend his father's sheep. Saul was with the army, engaged in fighting the Philistines. But now, Jesse, the father of David, he had three sons that were in the army. They were the three eldest ones. And he was very inquisitive to find out how these three sons were doing. You may be sure, if you have any sons, and they are in the service of the country, as some of you have, and you don't see them for a long time, then you're sure concerned how they're doing. And of course, if it's a peacetime, then it isn't too bad. But I mean, if they're in a battle, and they're on the battlefield, then if you are a mother or a father, then you know what's going on in their hearts. And so with Jesse, he was concerned about his sons. He wanted to know how they fared. So he called David from following the sheep, and he says, take a present with you, take something to eat, and go and see how your brothers are doing. So he left the sheep with the care of a servant, and he takes some sort of a carriage, and he goes forth to the army. to see how his brothers are faring. And now when he comes there, he leaves the carriage in a certain place, and he runs to his brethren in the field where they are preparing to fight against the Philistines. And just as he came there, lo and behold, there comes this big giant. He comes out again, and he begins to speak in the same manner as he had done 40 days. And David heard him. He hadn't heard him before. Now, remember, my hearers, it was not of David's doings that he was there. His father had sent him there. His father had commanded him to do this. And now when he came there, he began to inquire of these people, when he heard this here giant speak this way, what the king had said. Oh, they said, the king had said that he would give one of his daughters to the man that defeated this giant, and he would make his house free in Israel. He would fill him with riches. Now, this is what the people said unto David. And now David's eldest brother, Eliab, he heard what David was speaking about. And this Eliab, he was a jealous sort of a creature. Oh, he couldn't understand why David had come there. He thought that David had run away from the sheep and just came to the army and had heard something about this giant. And now in his pride, he was going to be the man that was going to fight against him, because he heard him speak to the people and ask them, oh, what would be done to the man that would defeat this giant? And when he heard this giant speak, I defy the armies of Israel to give me a man to fight with me. And then a spark came from heaven into the heart of David. It was just like if this giant was defying the God of the armies of Israel. And this God David loved, this God David feared, and he couldn't stand that. He couldn't take that giant spake in that way. Why, he just as much as defied that God who David loved. And David, he spake unto the people and said, who is this giant? Who is this Goliath that he defieth the armies of the living God? And when Eliab, his brother, heard him speak this way, oh, this man, he thought, he's just looking to be praised. He's looking to be honored. And soon he will be honored, because he probably had heard and seen David anointed by Samuel to be king. And now he picks on his brother. And he speaks very roughly, very angrily towards his brother and towards the people round about him. He disdained him and said, oh, he's only a shepherd. He only takes care of the sheep. What does he know about war? How can he go and fight with somebody like that? That's the way he was talking against his brother. And I know the pride and the naughtiness of your heart, why you came here. Now, David hadn't come there himself. His father had sent him there, and he obeyed his father. David was a type of Joseph. Joseph likewise was sent to his brethren, if you remember. He was sent on an errand by his father too. But what did his brethren do to him? They took him and they cast him in the pit, and finally they brought him up and they sold him. And surely Eliab, he wasn't much better than the brethren of Joseph, I think. If he could have done something to David, he would have. In fact, in his heart, he would have rather have seen these Philistines and this giant defeat Israel than have his brother, David, go out and fight against him and defeat him. That's the way Eliab felt about it. Ah, my hearers, may God keep me and you from such a spirit of envy and of jealousy of each other. And now David, he spake again. He turned away from his brother, and he spake, for what cause? What cause do you talk like that about me? I have a reason to be here. My father sent me here. And now as he spake this way so that it would come to the ears of Saul. And now it was said to Saul that there was a young man in the field, and he would go and fight with this giant. Well, Saul wanted to see him, who he was. So he was called, and he came before Saul. And Saul looked at him. Why, he was only a young man. According to the commentary, he was about 22 or 23 years of age. Why, he says to him, why, you're only a youth, he says, and this Goliath, why, he's been a warrior from his birth, he says, almost. He says, you can't go fight against him. Even Saul, he didn't think that he would be a fit combatant against this giant. But David, he spake up, and he says, as thy servant took care of his father's sheep. He says, and there came a lion and a bear, he says, and they took a young lamb out of the flock. And he says, I rose up against him and took the lamb out of his mouth. And he says, when the lion and the bear rose up against me, he says, I slew them. And he says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like the lion and the bear. The God, he says, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Oh, how wonderful did David remember how God had helped him in the past, how God had delivered him when he was in danger of losing his life. I was thinking about that. You know, they often say past experiences are no help. That's true. If you're in a trial and you're having trouble, what you've had in the past can't help you out of this trouble. But if it brings memories back how God has helped you in the past, and the Spirit comes in and leads you to that same God again and gives you to bring before him how he helped you, how he delivered you out of your troubles, out of your fears, out of your anxieties. Oh, I think that's so sweet. Have you got anything like that to go back to? Has God ever helped you in your life? And when you get in trouble again, you're led back to that point again. You say, then and then, God help me. You know, when you're an elder or a minister, and God comes and he anoints you to be that, and he gives you signs and tokens of it in your life, and then when you get into a fit of rebellion like I am most of the time, and you'd like to run away from it, and then God brings you back to what he said to you, and you can't run away. But then them words, sometimes they become so sweet, they humble your heart, and they break all the rebellion that's in you, and you got to go forward. And now this man, David, he's speaking to Saul about how this God who helped him, when this lion and this bear rose up against him. I wonder if any of my hearers ever had any lions and bears rise up against them, and God delivered you out of them. I don't